God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Well, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting here in the Saucer Pod this evening. Taking flak and shrapnel from undisclosed locations as the war for human souls heats up. The dark of the sun is a different matter than the dark of the moon, as is the darkness in a culture in decline by comparison with an emergent culture still rising into its greater expectations. The former is noteworthy for perversions and excess, the latter for the lack of them and the possession of bright and hopeful dreams still unfolding. In a dying culture, things go from bad to worse, and the presence of scavengers increases to an alarming degree. You start to see cockroaches and coyotes, vultures and hedge fund brokers all over the place. Bankers start coming through your windows, and government officials are at your door with folders full of paperwork that the bankers printed up for them on the machines that are running right alongside the currency presses. Western culture, which I just mentioned, is in decline, also becomes noteworthy for horrendous diet and incompetent yet truly expensive medical care. You would generally be better off heading back a couple of centuries to see the quacks who used to bleed people to get rid of the toxins in their blood. In times of cultural decline, they have a pill for everything. The problem is that the pills don't address the causal level, although they do on occasion suppress the symptoms for periods of time. The only drugs that actually do what they say they will are illegal or dispensed by Ayurvedic or Chinese medicine specialists, which most residents of a culture in decline have never even heard about, much less looked into. The keys to good health are a positive frame of mind, a minimum of stress, and good diet. You can afford a certain amount of leeway and slack in some areas if you have the basics employed. You might not think much of them when you are young, but they will certainly remind you about that later if you didn't pay attention earlier. Culture in decline eventually comes under the control of the very worst people in the culture because the general awareness level of the residents of a culture in decline is very poor, so they are easy meat for every scoundrel and con artist that comes down the pike. Most cultures in decline were once thriving cultures. As a result, they made their impact on the world and extended themselves financially and militarily around the globe. It wasn't long before they were engaged in an endless litany of gratuitous wars for the profit of bankers who had shanghaied their entire economic system and reduced the populace to debt slaves. As a result, they became overextended, much as Rome did a long time ago. Rome has also been gone for a long time since. Oh, the city's still there, but it's nothing more than a tourist destination where people come from other places to see remnants of the glory that was Rome. The main focus, one of the main focuses of a culture in decline, is to create a permanent overclass served by a permanent underclass. Eugenics becomes a concern of the overclass at some point if there are too many people for them to feel as powerful and safe as they want to feel. The only thing that concerns the overclass is their own well-being. Occasionally, and all too rarely, some member of the upper class gets through the educational system with a conscience, but it doesn't happen very often. In times of the decline of a culture, the overclass becomes extremely degenerate and perverse. They get more and more freaky and twisted and possess fewer and fewer human qualities. That makes it easier and easier for them to perform acts of horrible violence and depravity upon those they consider to be beneath them. These scions of society belong to the most exclusive clubs. They wine and dine at the most expensive restaurants. They attend pornographic charity functions where they pat one another on the back for their perfunctory good works on the behalf of the disenfranchised, who are disenfranchised because of their economic policies. These good works and financial bequests seldom, if ever, make their way to the people they are publicized as being on the behalf of. This money goes for executive travel to vacation spots where the principals engage in seminars of pointless intent. It also goes for secretaries and expensive office spaces filled with filing cabinets that hold reams and reams of paper filled with meaningless nonsense, most of which is designed to retard the flow of capital and keep it safely tucked away in bank accounts and investments where it can accrue an ongoing profit. It's like what happens when you go to a rich associate, if you have any, and ask him for help because the culture is in decline, is in the hands of vulture capitalists who destroy the economy so that you no longer can make a living. And what you will hear is that he really, really would like to help you, but his money is all tied up and he can't get to it. How unfortunate. It's not just an increasing financial turmoil you have to deal with during the final death throes of a culture in decline. You have to deal with growing insanity that begins to surface in the behavior of those trapped in the downward spiral of a culture in decline. Part of this comes about through the uprising of the subconscious breaking out into the playing fields of the self-conscious mind. Some of it comes about through being subjected to toxic pharmaceuticals that poison the consciousness, and some of it comes about from the pressure of being in desperate straits. There are all kinds of causes for the uptick in crazy. There are identity crises of all sorts. There are sexual identity crises. There are social crises where the individual finds themselves incapable of integrating into the greater social stream because, well, because the greater social stream is also crazy, meaningless and shallow and dependent on trivia and superficial entertainments as a relentless distraction from seeing how things really are. Some number of the public gets into the mindset of believing we're all doomed and nothing matters as it doesn't matter what they do. And right. Some escape into chronic hedonism and spiral slowly and sometimes all too rapidly into a sticky, poisonous murk, where they become one of the ingredients in demon soup. No doubt this is mass-produced by Campbell's. I can see where what I've said so far can appear to be a very depressing picture, and I can also see where it might make some people laugh because there is a comedic aspect to it. I've had a whirlwind several months. The last one has been easy within and chaotic without. Previously, it was chaotic in both directions. I'm on the verge of contacting some of my astrologer friends to see if they have any input, but usually not much helps. Things just have to play out until they're played out. At least that's how it's been ordinarily. I'd expected the confusion to just die away and go back to the usual dum-de-dum-de-dum. But given that there is no usual dum-de-dum-de-dum, I probably should have expected the unexpected. I hear about concerted gangland-style attacks from Zyobots. I hear they're on the increase. I generally never expect anything like that myself, but lately it's been coming out of the woodwork on me. I won't hash over the detritus and residue of the past except to say it's still going on sub rosa and involves furious email writing campaigns, which a friend who secreted himself into the mix has been bringing to my attention. I don't know whether to laugh. Then I get a link at Smoking Mirrors today, courtesy of one of my readers, which opens into page after page of that internet voodoo cult over at Signs of the Times, or also known as SOT, ripping into me for various reasons unknown. I haven't said anything to or about them. The last contact involved me coming to their defense and catching a huge ration of you-know-what for having done so. This has been happening from these people at regular interviews. Like an outbreak of shingles or psoriasis, and I finally got a flash today about what the reason has to be. There's been rumors going around for some time that they are in the pay of a particular deep-pocket psychopath. George Soros gets mentioned, and it occurred to me that whoever is funding them is also giving them their marching orders. The execrable slander involves nothing that is accompanied by any kind of evidence. It's just speculation and innuendo, and of course the usual claims of my being a drug addict. Which is difficult for me to understand since I haven't had any drugs or anything else in quite some time. I do occasionally like to take psychedelics, but that is a time-honored practice by mystics through the centuries, and I can safely say that it has been of great benefit to me. I know this is not the case for everyone, but we're not talking about everyone. We're talking about me. It's usually the case when critics can't come up with anything of substance, they attack your lifestyle. Interestingly, they often know nothing about my lifestyle other than the things I tell them and say with full disclosure in my blogs. I've never heard of people who take psychedelics being called drug addicts. Usually that means you are taking addictive substances all the time and are lost to stop. None of that applies to me. But smear campaigns are not dependent on the truth, are they? Signs of the Times has gone after most of the big players on the internet with the most abusive and often fabricated claims and speculations. I am not a big player, but I have come into the crosshairs for some reason. I'm going to go with the position of feeling honored to be singled out in such a fashion. I must be doing something right to get the internet version of Jonestown all worked up about me. In September, I'm either relocating to Maui or one of a couple of countries in South America. I've also been invited to join a commune in mid-Ontario, but fast internet is a deal-breaker. I need to be able to continue in my work for so long as that is continuing to be a viable activity. The world has finally come to the pass where the rafters and foundations are shaking at the same time. Most anything can happen now. In an instant, everything we have become accustomed to can turn into something else. It's a frightening image if such things frighten you. My personal position is to see it all as cosmic interplay conducted by a wiser hand. If I buy into the idea that we're all screwed, like so many people seem to be doing, I take the reins out of those wiser hands and assume control myself, even though that would be the definition of out of control. Our problem, so much of the time, is short-sightedness. We jump at shadows that we have empowered. We worry about things that haven't happened yet and plan for things that never will. Far too many people base their perspective on evidence drawn from the material world. The material world is a mass deception of appearances that masks reality. You can't get to the ineffable and eternal by focusing on the temporal and temporary. That's an unworkable contradiction. Should be obvious, but for some reason it is not. My belief is that it comes out of having tunnel vision. We got blinders on, and the whole scope of the peripheral is closed off. Of course, this negates internal reflection as well, because you can't focus on the world outside and the world inside at the same time, unless you're of a very high order. Within us all are all the demons and gods we imagine to be outside of us. The very idea of demons and gods is the result of how we tend to see things. There's an ancient image that I've come across on occasions, and it states that if one should encounter the devil, they should look for a corona of light around his outline. This is the angel that is hidden behind him. This is one of the reasons that Christ said you must become as a little child. You can't see things as they are unless you do. This is why there are two possibilities for us when we enter into the later stages of life: senility or regenerated innocence. The one is what you see in the aging on a regular basis. The other is a rare state seen in illuminated personalities who have returned to the pristine state of their youth. It is a gift from God for loyal service over the course of a lifetime, or many lifetimes. Who among us has shown such dedication? The later it gets, the more difficult it is to embark on the right course, and the more unlikely it is that one would choose to do so anyway. The inertia of their familiar routines and rituals has too strong a pull. At that point, one should get into the habit of crying out at every opportunity for help. Help may well come to those sincere in their plea. I can only speak from what my experiences have been, and it ain't over yet. I feel confident in my contact with the divine, and I'm told I should be. Still, and it might just be a shortage of faith, I wonder about the continuous security and good feeling that tends to accompany me all the time, as if nothing could trouble or touch me. That's just how it feels, and it's pretty unshakable nearly all the time. Maybe it's human nature to be uncertain even about that which you are certain about. It's probably due to the weird events and conditions that rise up out of nowhere lately and don't seem to have anything to do with the security that I feel. It's just the odd contrast, I guess. My invisible friends, which the trolls over at Signs of Time like to make fun of, even though they believe in a Ouija board, invoked entities called Cassiopeians that deal light years away in a distant dimension. Right. These invisible friends tell me that I've cleared nearly all the hurdles and all I have to do is walk through what remains of the time on my cassette tape or CD of life, and that nothing can change my course or destination. I want to believe that, and God knows I hear this and many other things every day. I've been doing these things now for a long time. The radio shows, various blog postings, the books and songwriting and recording, along with my all-through-the-day conversations, they take up all my time. I live in an internalized world that serves as my reality. Is it real? Seems to have its moments, and that is echoed by some of you now and again. Although I do not pay much mind to the things that my detractors and self-styled enemies have to say, it is interesting to see them harping on the same unsupported claims that I lie continuously. I keep asking them to point out where I lied, and they never do. And I have to think, is this just meant to be a distraction? Something intended to impair my efforts of going on as I do and attempting to refine the process in as much as I have any effect on it, which I assume is not much. I guess it just comes with the territory. From my perspective, I'm just doing what I do every day, hopefully for the benefit of others who don't make up any great or significant numbers. But it's gotten away from me over the course of time, and the numbers are actually larger than I thought. Because of this, the opposition to what I do has grown commensurately. I've just been blithely motoring on, oblivious to what's taking place off in the distance, and part of the problem is not seeing all the people who listen here and read the sites. I can't see their faces or their lives, except when they tell me about it in some correspondence, or on the telephone, or when they come to visit me. Then I see real people, beautiful people, and I realize there are a great many of them, and that this really incenses and annoys those who resent this to the max. Why they resent this can be explained in various ways, but I'm not going to indulge that for the same reason I didn't get all involved in defending myself against spurious claims made against me when those supporting these lies wouldn't even bother to talk to multiple witnesses who were on the scene. Naysayers can't have it both ways. If you're inclined to believe something you weren't even present to witness, yet refuse to consider eyewitness testimony, then it isn't the truth you're after, is it? I did finally get frank and direct with Laura and her Morlocks over at Smoking Mirror's comments section. I've been more than patient, but eventually something has to get said, and I did. Hopefully it proves to be entertaining as well. I want to thank all of you who have stuck with me and continue to believe in me and what I try to do. And, you know, I'm here, clear-minded as I can be, hopefully articulate and not impaired in any way as far as being able to speak or have my thoughts flow out in a consistent manner. So, well, hopefully that's evidence of something. All right, my friends. Sorry I took up so much space talking about personal matters, but I always try to phrase and present these things in such a way that they might hopefully prove relevant to you as well. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, stay strong and focused on that which sustains you. That said, Om Amitabha, Alhamdulillah, Hail Lord Ganesha, Greetings Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, and Shine on Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.